Hi everyone, happy new year and welcome back to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. I'm sorry I've been away for so long. Things at Eat Allergy Safe have changed a lot, and actually, to be honest, at one point last year I thought I wasn't sure if I could continue Eat Allergy Safe, but as you might have realised because you're listening to this, Eat Allergy Safe is back, the podcast is back, and things are going to be developing over on the blog too. And over the next few weeks, over the next few episodes, you're going to be hearing more about that. So today's episode is with a lovely lady who I actually recorded this episode back in the summer and unfortunately wasn't able to publish it at the time that I wanted to and at the time that this should have been published, which was back in September when Jackie, who you will hear from today, was doing the One McPeak Challenge, which you'll all be really interested to know about. Is a challenge, a charity challenge, where people without allergies take on an allergen for 2 weeks, raise money, get sponsored, and then understand what it's like to actually live with an allergy or intolerance. But I wanted to publish it anyway, because what she's doing with allergen accreditations, helping university catering, restaurants, you name it, anything to do with catering for food and helping them be more allergy friendly, that's what she's doing. So I thought it was really worthwhile to publish this anyway. And I see from LinkedIn that she's doing really well and she's involved with lots of universities, which is brilliant. University is such a time when you can't really eat out or you're not sure. And I know as a student, I wasn't always hot on asking about allergens, but you really should be. And I have found over the last few months that I have told a restaurant about my allergies. And thank goodness I did, because there have been times when when the menu has not listed nuts as one of the ingredients on the menu of the item I've chosen, and then the waitress or waiter has said, oh, I need to check that. I think there's nuts in the sauce or nuts in this, or there's nuts in the ingredient. We'll put it on the side or make sure it's nothing contaminated. So really important. And you're going to be hearing more about how Jackie helps businesses become more allergen safe. So without further ado, let's get over to today's episode and make sure you stay tuned, subscribe to the podcast, and you're going to be getting a lot more episodes all about solving challenges and also about not just surviving with allergies, but thriving by turning those challenges into opportunities. So here we go.
A lot of people are on holiday.
Yeah, so. I found that from last week. Everything is just...
Yeah. Try not to panic time.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, it's all... But it's good. It's like you can get things scheduled and...
get organised,
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that in a bit to get things underway. Actually, that's why I'm doing the podcast interviews.
Yeah, getting well done.
Yeah, and while everyone's away on holiday next week, I can actually edit them.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so the way this is going to work is it's a really informal chat. Like when we were having coffee, I'll just ask you about the allergen accreditation and how you got into allergies. So basically talking about your daughter. And then we're going to talk about this. And actually, I do really want to talk about the allergen accreditation and how people can work with you and also your advice for restaurants and things. So that's how I'm going to... like shape this episode, because I think it will be really useful, and it's one I'm going to put specifically on LinkedIn for people, because it's both good for me and for you and really useful information, because people are gonna be thinking about that and want to know about it. So so anything, I've got all your links and things, so I'll make sure we touch on the allergen accreditation and the workshops you do with catering and your experiencing as and what you've found and advice.
Sure. And the One McPeak Challenge as well.
Yep, definitely. That we will certainly be talking about. Okay. I'll do a little introduction to welcome the listeners and to introduce you, and then we just get going. And I'll just ask you questions and feel free to talk as much as you like.
Thank you. I will.
Brill. Okay, ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Welcome if you are a new listener. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Make sure you go and look at the back catalogue. I've got so many episodes about all aspects of allergy living, even some stuff to do with FODMAP, low FODMAP diet and celiac disease and autoimmune. So there's a whole range of things and amazing stories from people. Welcome if you are a returning listener. I hope you enjoy this one. It's going to be a little bit of a different episode rather than, well, it's a personal story, but we're also going to be looking at catering and how to look after food allergies in the food business, because I have Jackie McPeak with me today, and she has started a business from her own experience, teaching people, teaching catering companies, teaching university catering schemes and companies and food, just anything to do with food that you could be visiting, like a restaurant. She is running allergen accreditation and training programs, which is amazing because it's one of the first I've heard of in the UK and something we all know is so needed. So welcome, Jackie. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
So first up, now I know your story with allergies is actually a personal one, so I want to start there. Can you tell everybody, you know, how did you get involved in allergies?
So basically, for the last almost 10 years, I was head of catering at Manchester Metropolitan University. And during that time, the laws changed. Mm-hmm. So myself and my team had to do the work behind the scenes to make sure that our customers, we had 36,000 students and 4,000 staff, had to make sure they were safe. But around the same time, coincidentally, my daughter, who was 15 at the time, started to become unwell. Very inconvenient. It was a GCSE year at school, and she just started to be unwell for days at a time. That's not like her, and she's actually quite a clever girl. And ambitious, and actually just taking her A-levels waiting to hear next week. So it's not like she's trying to avoid school, but she's definitely poorly, and it was related to food. So we started to track how and when she became ill, and it was became a difficult process. She was 2 days well and 3 days in bed on a very regular basis until we got to the stage. So after Christmas, she went out with friends. She bought gingerbread from Greg's or somewhere, and I said, probably cinnamon, you know, you could be allergic to that. And it, from there, by Easter, she was 2 weeks, really quite poorly, vomiting, she had rashes, her lips kept coming up and down, and severe gastric cramps. So we started the investigations at hospital. We were put on a waiting list, and it took quite a long time to get to see somebody. But in the meantime, we were trying to manage her school. She was, I remember she went to Duke of Edinburgh scheme. I had to go and collect her because she was in a real state. Her face was red and puffy, her lips were up, and she had a real struggle. She's now gluten free, she's lactose free, no potatoes, no maize. So quite a restrictive diet, but now we know what affects her, we can manage it better. But over the last 3 years, it's opened my eyes as a parent, but I also took that learning back into the workplace for my team, because I was quite stressed about it at the time. And the team were very supportive and very interested, if you like, in how she was progressing.
Yeah.
So that's what started it all off for me.
Wow. That, I mean, that's quite a story. And also I think everybody who's listening can relate to how stressful it can be in the beginning, figuring it out. Yeah. And so when you started learning, how did that affect your role as in the catering industry when you were working at Man Met University?
Yeah, so I sort of realised that actually this is more prevalent than I had realised. I think until you know somebody's got an allergy, you don't realise how prevalent it is. And actually, I went to a conference where the speaker, who was Michelle Borodale-Johnson, she went to a Phil conference, and she said that university students are the most vulnerable of the group, because that age group, quite a high proportion of allergies. And she said they're away from home for the first time, mum's not cooking, there's peer pressure, they're actually started cooking for themselves and buying for themselves, whereas mum previously did all that for them, perhaps. And that's a kind of standing out for that one of the difference, you know, freshers week where everyone else is getting drunk and having a curry. You know, if you've got an allergy, particularly gluten is in beer, obviously, and if you go down and have a curry, there's all sorts of potential danger. So one of my colleagues turned to me and she said, you need to do something about this. And I said, okay, I will. So that was the kind of start of I thought about it differently. And also, around about the same time, my daughter, she had a 24-hour starvation diet for a particular test she was having done.
Mm-hmm.
We went to work, and it happened to be Friday. And there was fish in basket that she couldn't eat. There was curry she couldn't eat, and there was a pasta dish. So I went into the kitchen because I worked there, and I said, Sophie's here. She's really, really hungry. What can she eat? And the chef was quite helpful, but innocently said, oh, a couple of girls I know coming on a Friday, and I always poach fish for them. I said, that's absolutely great. Can she have poached fish? But all over the weekend, I thought, what about everybody else?
Mm.
How do we know? I was head of catering, and I didn't realise this is what he did, you know, for a couple of people. And I said, you need to let people know that you can poach fish. You need to let them know the alternative menu. So this gnawed away at me, and I said to the team, I want 14 people to give up an allergen for the month and see what it's like, because you're not on that side of the counter. You know, not everybody can walk into the kitchen and say, excuse me, what yeah. else can you do for me? So it took it as a challenge. I got 25 people involved, and we raised quite a lot of money for charity. But also, more than that, they understood what it was like, and they really got involved in the challenge. They took to heart, and they were telling me stories of how they went out to eat and the food benefit of the menu. And so they said, oh, I nearly died last night. And I said, oh, God, what happened to you? And he said, oh, I nearly ate nuts in my chocolate. I can't have nuts for a month. But then they kind of looked at the customer journey, and we made things better for our students. We introduced new things to the menu.
Mm-hmm.
We made our signage better, you know, because our signage was there, so please ask. But I said, how many people asked? Well, one or two. I said, it's not good enough. So we made our product more accessible. We created a free from display box
mm-hmm.
to make it easier. And we highlighted on the menu which items might be suitable for those people with special diets. And the team were really good, and I think it's a learning process for them.
Mm.
So that's kind of the idea behind this current campaign we're just about to launch, or has been launched, starts in September for the caterers across the country, really, to get involved in a One McPeak challenge.
Yeah.
Which I can talk about. Yeah,
let's talk about that, the One McPeak challenge. So as you... Yeah. For those of you who are listening, Jackie and I have actually met for coffee, and Jackie was telling me all about this really wonderful experience, which is exactly what she's just told you that she did with her team at Manchester Metropolitan University. So describe the challenge, when it's starting, and the aims of it.
Okay, so I worked with my colleagues from Allergy and Rehabilitation, which I was going to touch upon, and he was very interested in what happened. And I've been in a couple of magazines under the title Step Into My Shoes. So that was the kind of logo we kind of took forward. And he said, I've been thinking about this. He said, somebody's going to copy you. And it's your idea. And it's a great idea. And we should follow it. So he said, we're going to be doing the One McPeak Challenge. And I said, oh, I was climbing a mountain. Is it like the Three Peaks Challenge? He said, similar. But actually, it's the One McPeak Challenge. And we're going to do exactly what you did at Manchester. But we're going to throw it open to all caterers
mm-hmm.
and get them to understand on behalf of allergy sufferers, because I think until you know how difficult it is to go out and eat, until you know how complicated it is just to go shopping,
mm-hmm.
you don't appreciate. So that's the challenge, to throw it open to anybody really, but also particularly to people in the catering industry, to try and understand and be a little bit more sympathetic to sufferers who need special diets for various reasons. So the challenge starts on the 1st of September, just for 2 weeks, because I do think a month is too much. So I think 2 weeks is fine, it's manageable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the idea is that people can take part as a team, as individuals, and donate some money towards the anaphylactic campaign, or well-timed campaign. So, and during that time, we ask that you go out to eat at least once, and then feedback to us, we've got an email address, and we'll tweet about it and blog about it. People's experiences, good and bad, and how we found it to go shopping, you know, what was your experience, what were your learning outcomes from this. And it's really kind of a general awareness raising campaign, and we're hoping that we'll get a lot of money raised for charity, but also more so the awareness across the country.
Yeah.
So
I know you've got, so for people who can get involved, could like just, can people tell their schools about it? And
sure, yeah, absolutely.
And where can they find information about the One McPeak Challenge?
So it's on my website, which I'm just trying to find the details. So I've got a website, Jack's Allergen Management, which is JACS, allergenmanagement.com. So in there you'll find information on my blog page. You can also go to the actual signing up page, which is the mydonate.bt.onewordpeakchallenge, and you'll find the information there. You can you simply register your details. Once you've made a donation, it takes you to a LinkedIn page, a page of links there, which gives you instructions on how we'd like you to take part in the challenge and an email address to feedback your experience.
Brilliant.
And then we're going to attend the Anaphylactic Conference in September. We've got a stand there, and we're going to hopefully walk on stage with a check to present to the team there.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Well, that's really exciting.
We hope so.
Well, definitely. And hopefully everyone who's listening to this, you'll get in touch with, you know, maybe your friends. If your child's got an allergy, why don't you and your partner or your aunties, uncles, family, friends, you could do it, join in with your kid's allergy and be free from that allergen for, you know, 2 weeks, or ask your kid's school or preschool, secondary school, you know, anybody or work colleagues, definitely get involved.
Absolutely. So, more the merrier.
Yeah, definitely. And you'll be seeing more about this on the blog as well, so you'll get to see, get all the links in the show notes. So the next thing I want to ask you about, Jackie, is your work doing allergen accreditation and workshops for the catering industry. What do you do there?
Okay, so for my own business, Jack, which is Jackie's Allergen Catering Specialist, what I do is take my knowledge and skills that I've learned in my job role and just really simply share that information to caterers. So I do a workshop where I show some videos for the anaphylactic campaign, which a bit of a wake-up call, really. The past one, where they take the EpiPen, take the kit one, which is quite a scary one. I don't see that one. And some other relative ones. And I also highlight some of the recent cases where there have been tragic cases of people have died from an allergy, which is absolutely avoidable if people do the right thing. So what I want to try and tell caterers is it's easy to do. You need a lot of organisation. But within the kitchen, if you build it into your everyday working processes to avoid cross-contamination, to make sure that suppliers are on board, to make sure your storage is all correct, to make sure you display your allergens, you challenge suppliers with the phrase make and pay, and all these processes, the training's in place for your staff, the signage is in place, and then I do a little bit of a an exercise where I've got a number of, I call it what's in the pot. And I've got some ingredients in these pots that are not labelled. So in a kitchen, the chef might be there every single day of the week. You know, exactly which pot is picking, pick it up, throws it into the dish. But what happens if he's off? Is they just a chef? Do they know which oil they're putting in? If it's a peanut oil, that could be absolutely lethal for some people. Do they know what's in the support, that they're adding fish to the dish, and all these various. So I pass these pots around and have a bit of a giggle about what's in the pot. And then I've had chefs go away and I just said, you know what, I'm going to go back and label all my pots, make sure they're all ready, because it was a bit of a wake-up call, but actually you're not always in the kitchen. You can't do 7 days a week. You can't do all the chefs. You can't leave it to chance, really. So, and then I also do an exercise where within the group I ask them, tell them after the group, maybe six in each group, two of you have got gluten allergy, two of you have got lactose free, two of you have nuts allergy, and can you choose off as many what you would like to eat if you went out. And I find it really quite difficult. I've got some menus from key food restaurants and ask them to choose a meal. So they come away thinking, and then I say to them, what can people eat in your restaurant? I think it's just kind of making it real, really, and passing on my experience from my team, who were really, really good and really supportive, and help and making it, you know, it is easy and actually free from community. They want to eat out. They don't want to make it difficult. They don't want to come home poorly. And just making better for everybody, really.
Yeah. So when you go into catering companies, restaurants to do your training, what is the first thing that you see that you want to change straight away usually?
it depends. I mean, a lot of people do it very well, I have to say. But I think it's just one of the things with chefs, everyone likes to put in their own dishes. Chefs don't like to be told they have to, particularly in school universities, to use a system where everybody uses the same recipe, use recipe cards. Mm-hmm. So chefs don't like to conform to, you know, you have to make it like this, you have to make it that. But I say to them, look, if you add a dash of Worcester sauce, that's fine at home. If you do it in the workplace, you're adding unknown allergens to your dish. Mm-hmm. And also cross-contamination. So even on a large hob where they're perhaps cooking gluten-free pasta next to battered fish on a Friday, some of that battered fish might enter into that big pot of boiling pasta. And then that pasta is no longer gluten-free because the risk of cross-contamination is very high.
Yeah.
So it's pointing out that the risk, you can do gluten-free pasta, but it's actually a matter of timing. Where do you boil your pasta? You know, there might be another hob elsewhere in the kitchen you could use. We had a secretary for using our hospitality, and we labelled it, allergen table. When it, there's quite a lot of requests for allergen free meals, so we prepared those first on the allergen table, make sure it's clean down in the tree. And we used, adopted the idea of using, coloured, service utensils to stop the risk of cross contamination.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so we bought purple, from our suppliers, you could buy a purple case and inside the purple chopping board with the knife, with the serving utensils. We said to the team, it's not going to stop the allergens, it doesn't kill them off, obviously, but it just raises awareness of the person making that dish, so actually I need to treat it more carefully. The same as chopping board for raw meat, cooked meat and fish and vegetables with different colour throws. We adopted the purple of a different colour. And we also used it on the counter for our customers. Now, it was just again so that the server didn't use that same spoon or whatever to serve the gluten-free product. The same dish might be next to another product. They shouldn't be able to serve the same utensil. Does that make sense? So they can keep that separate, if you like. Because mm-hmm. I know cases in schools where the servers have used the same spoon for dairy-free products and then put it into the dish which contains dairy. There's been consequences for that. So
yeah, so it's making sure everybody, all the chefs and the catering staff in the kitchen know that there's a colour-coordinated system as well as those who are serving on the outside to customers.
Yeah. And we also adopted a pre-service brief. So that before each service session, the chef would come out and say, like, this is today's menu, and they went through it. So that highlighting something that possibly would be suitable for somebody who's got a gluten-free diet, lactose-free, et cetera, et cetera. And the service staff would know. But actually, we wouldn't expect the service staff to remember all of that, because we also use a lot of allergies, certainly emergency staff. And they're quite busy during the working day, so we wouldn't expect them to remember each dish. So they were trained to go and just say to them, hold on 2 minutes, I'll go and check for you. Because we didn't want them to take on the responsibility. So they'd have to ask the chef or the manager on duty to confirm which dish was suitable.
Okay. So that there's a chain of, responsibility in a way.
Yeah.
So everybody's always checking.
Yeah, sure. Because you wouldn't expect them, on a busy day, the queue was really quite big, and they might provide the wrong advice. So we said, don't guess, go on. That was drummed into them, don't guess that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they might say, we think you're okay, but hold on 1 minute, we'll go and check.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So there's always, when someone's coming, so if I came with a nut allergy and I asked, is there any nuts in this particular dish? They would go and double check, and then they bring out if it's somewhere else, or point me in the direction of where I can find it.
Yeah. So in the background, we would have all information on our back of house system, so we could provide that confirmation for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Jackie, just quickly, can you move slightly closer to the microphone or something? It's a little bit muffled.
Oh yeah. Okay. Is that better?
Oh yeah, much better.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the allergen accreditation. So, whilst I was at Manchester Met University, I was working with TUCO, which is the University Catering Organisation, mm-hmm. on supporting other universities to bring in a standardised allergen process. So, and I thought, well, if I'm supposed to be showing others, I want to check that I was doing something correct. So I asked a colleague who founded Allergy Aware, mm-hmm. and he's based down in Surrey. Mm-hmm. And I said, could he come do our accreditation check and see if we can gain the accreditation? And he said, certainly, came up, went through all our processes, and he starts from the back door, looks at your back of house system, checks your recipes, checks your suppliers, and goes through everything from storage to preparation to training, everything I've just discussed. And we came out very well. He said, we got some very good examples, and he was really pleased. So as I was talking to him, I said, why did you come all the way from Surrey? He said, there was only me, my company. I went, oh, okay. So I was already thinking that this is something I was really, really passionate about. I wanted to do something else, and I was already thinking of starting one with this. So I had a conversation with him a short time later. And so the joke is that I'm north of Watford. So I'm trying to bring the scheme north of Watford. So he's managed to get in quite a number of schools down near him, mm-hmm. And a few restaurants. So I've been speaking to a number of universities. It's already in St. John's, Cambridge, it's Manchester Metropolitan, Chester University, and I've worked with others at the moment. We want to make it be more aware of it. So when you look for the 5 stars in the HO scheme, we'd like people also to be asking about an allergen accreditation scheme. So when Julian produced the scheme, because he worked with clients in the catering industry, they were asking for a process and a framework to work towards, mm-hmm. and he took this to FSA, and I said, this is great, we like this, you know, go ahead. So mm-hmm. So the framework, the audit is actually the framework to work towards. We ask you about suppliers, to quite ask you in depth about your training, mm-hmm. ask you what you would do in case of an emergency. So you complete all the audits, and then you get a physical audit as well. Mm-hmm. And that lasts for 3 years. Within 3 years, we go back and check, make sure everything's doing what they're doing.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a really good scheme. And for my daughter, who, when she goes out to eat, she'll, like others, she'll ring up, she'll check the website, she'll mm-hmm. choose a meal before she leaves the house. She said if this was more widespread, she would be able to check on the website, have you got the accreditation scheme? And if you have, it means that the team are on board, and going to support you when you go that restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing that people have any sort of accreditation to do with allergies, you always feel a bit more comfortable going and asking as well. Because I know from my own experience, you know, if you don't see anything that says that they might be willing to listen to you, sometimes just don't even bother, because you can't be bothered with the hassle of dealing with someone who has no idea and having to go through that chime of explaining it. You just, you know, bring your own food and deal with yourself, because it's easier.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So the allergy accreditation, so when I did it with my team, so the exec chef was on board with it, he met with himself and Julian, we sat down and talked. And the universities I'm working with now, I've worked with their teams, and Wolverhampton University is another example. One of their key managers worked really, really hard with all his team to make sure that we all followed the recipes, training. I'm doing workshops with them at the moment. So I think once they've got the accreditation, they understand what's involved a bit more and the potential pitfalls.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would your advice be for a kitchen, or even just people at home who have children with allergies, but they're not getting rid of all the allergens in the kitchen? But what would your advice be for people working in a kitchen where there are allergens present, but they're cooking for people with allergies? What would be your first go-to step to creating a system?
So what we did, we tried to avoid the risk of cross-contamination, mm-hmm. because that's where the danger occurs. So you keep the food separate. Some kitchens may decide not to have peanuts in there. Kitchen at all, they might make that decision. Mm-hmm. The first thing we did was do a food allergen policy, mm-hmm. which I wrote, which set out what we intended to do, for the policy is your intention. Mm-hmm. It was our intention to follow the framework to make sure our students would be safe, mm-hmm. and that this policy would be updated and that all the staff were aware of it. So with that process, we talked to our suppliers. We check our processes in the kitchen. even though with a lot of the students, one of our kitchens was surprisingly small, so it's quite difficult to dedicate a whole area. Some universities have bigger kitchens, which depends on the background of the restaurant and the kitchen. But even within a small restaurant, even if you haven't got the space to dedicate, you can actually prepare all your free from stuff first thing, so that you prepare it, you clean down, you seal whatever it is you made, and label it and put it away. So that's the risk of cross contamination is minimised. If you do in hospitality, we'd always like to take the person's name so we can label that that dish for them and keep it separate. Do all these processes to make it as safe as possible. With the training, the staff knew that we were really keen to get this right. We used to have an annual conference every year so that the staff, just before the start term, would come together. One of our key conferences would have one of our allergens. We actually managed to get our health and safety department to bring in somebody to talk about allergens, and we trained all the staff on the use of EpiPen.
Oh, brill.
So that was great. It was great fun stabbing each other with a dummy EpiPens.
Yeah.
But it meant, because if somebody's going to collapse, they're going to collapse in the food area, and the university's, you know, a really big university. So I was concerned, and I wouldn't, as first aider, I've been a first aider for 20 years and more, I wouldn't like to stand there and not be able to help. So I insisted that they could provide that support for us. So the load of people, and that was really good. And the staff remembered that. I don't remember when we did the EpiPen training.
Yeah, that's really good. And I find that when people, you know, are faced with an EpiPen or a Jexpen, any of the adrenaline pen brands, and have to hold it and, you know, if it's a dummy one, use it, they just take it more seriously as well.
Yeah.
Have you come up with against people who just don't believe what you're telling them is serious?
Yeah, I mean, as usual, it's a fad diet. And, you know, in fact, one of the workshops I did recently for that, you know, the chef was a little bit sceptical. And they said, well, more and more people are coming in with these allergies. How do we know it's not just a fad or a choice? I said, if you don't know, you don't know whether that person's going to die because you're giving them the product, or it might be fad, but who cares? They have chosen not to eat it for whatever reason. So recently I came across a food video from a young girl in Lancaster County, Victoria, and she's got a serious strawberry allergy. So I started to show part of the video now, because I think the thing is, if it's a strawberry, people think it's a minor allergy. She will actually be in hospital for 2 weeks with 14 different steroids. To, you know, bring her back to normal health. So I showed part of this video, and she was actually treated for serious illness. So at the end of my workshop, I said to them, three things you're going to do differently and three things you've learned from today. And almost all of them said, we're going to treat all allergens the same now. And if it's outside the 14 normal, under the declared allergens, we'll treat it equally. Because we don't know. In fact, somebody I know, their son was taken away in an ambulance due to a parsnip reaction.
Oh, wow.
You know, reaction to parsnip. And he didn't know he had a Christmas dinner at university. And didn't know he was allergic and was taken off an ambulance. So I think, you know, there are more and more foods that people are allergic to, and as a caterer, it's not our decision. If somebody says they can't eat it, well, they can't eat it.
Yeah.
It's just simple as.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's better safe than sorry.
Sure, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but there is this kind of, but we've seen it ourselves, because in our university, we have several high-profile dining events, and whereas we used to get, you know, back a few years ago, where there might have been 3 vegans and 15 vegetarian and 2 or 3 nut allergies, we now have a spreadsheet, literally, with various dietary requirements. So the team have noticed, and they've had to cater for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Well, I'm going to ask you 1 or 2 more questions, actually, because we're going to get to the end of our time. I can't believe it's already running out. I know, it always goes so quickly.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, so first up, how can people get in touch with you, or how can they recommend you to their schools or their universities, their nurseries, to have you come and train staff?
So I've got the website, which is Jax, and it's allergymanagement.com. It's So on there, there's a contact page with my phone number and my email address, which is jack@allergenaccreditation.co.uk. I have a Twitter account, I found my social media, I've got a LinkedIn profile as well, and I've got a Jack's Facebook page as well. So there are various ways, and I'm using all of those processes at all times.
Brilliant.
I'd be happy to take any queries, any questions, and I'd really like to get this off of that, if I say.
Brilliant.
A bit more valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, and hear more. Absolutely. And then the second last question I have is, what are your three top tips for a catering company who want to be more allergy friendly? What three things, actionable things, could they do today?
So I think they need to make sure the recipe list is in order so that the chefs know what's in individual dishes, because that's crucial. Mm-hmm. Because the chef is actually the one who prepares the dish, so they have to have some sort of process to make sure that recipe doesn't change on a daily basis. They have to have a close relationship with the suppliers, mm-hmm. who need to understand that they're serious about this. Because I've also talked to suppliers in the past, and quite often, because of the way they operate, they might pick up the phone and say, well, we've got a pallet load of whatever it might be to get rid of, and they might send you an alternative source to the one you've declared on your recipe qualification sheet. Mm-hmm. That source might contain different ingredients. So at that stage, whoever the catering company is, they need to decide, do we accept alternatives or not? So if you do accept them, you have to have a process in place to check that new source, mm-hmm. if it's got any allergies in it, and then you have to figure out telling the team, telling the customer that today's, whatever it might be, pasta sauce, stir fry, whatever it is different to the one you normally have because it's got a different ingredient within it. Or you might say, actually, I don't want any alternatives, I need to have that. Mm-hmm. So that's something that sometimes people miss, because in a busy kitchen, you might just take the order and not realise it's a different product you've accepted. Mm-hmm. And I think the cross-contamination is really, really key. So, you know, cleaning down with hot soapy water and having a process, mm-hmm. where food that's free from food is cooked separately, or a good time plan. If you haven't got space to do it separate, you do a time plan where you do the products first, put them away. Yeah. There's no risk of cross-contamination.
Brilliant.
I could go on.
I know you could. That's why people should hire you.
They should.
Yeah, they should hire you so that you can come in and sort out, so they know their kids are going to be safe.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then lastly, the One McPeak Challenge. So just can you recap, when is the challenge starting, and then where can people get involved?
So the page is live, so you can actually go on the page now and have a look, and you can donate or take part or whatever. You can do it individually or the team, the family. So that's on my donate BT / One McPeak Challenge. Mm-hmm. And on there is the information, it gives some background information. And it's obviously you can donate as normal. Once you've donated, you will then get an email from ourselves, which will give you the link to ask you what we want you to do. So, hey, we want you to declare which allergen you're going to take from your diet. We're going to ask you to go shopping, go out for a meal, to cook with other family who perhaps don't have allergies, and how difficult is that? Mm-hmm. And just to help us by feeding back your experiences, we can anonymize them. We'd like to tweet about it, to blog about it, to get it down on social media, and really to raise awareness of what it's like to live with allergies within your normal daily life. It affects, you know, how people operate their daily lives, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that was fantastic. And I really hope that everybody gets in touch and joins in with the One McPeak, or suggests it to their schools, friends, family, colleagues, and just have a go at living without allergens, because I know everybody knows someone who doesn't have allergies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, sure. Jackie, for joining me.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do you feel anxious and overwhelmed by your food allergy? If so, keep listening, because I'm going to tell you about my allergy coaching program. Allergy coaching is about building your confidence and the confidence of your allergic child so that allergies don't negatively impact your life. From my own personal experience, I am a lifelong allergy sufferer.
We discovered my peanut allergy at 9 months old when my mum, unbeknownst to her, fed me peanut butter. My mum was shocked out of her socks when my official diagnosis came. At 16, I was hospitalised because someone put ground peanuts in my food. After this, I was completely terrified of all food and that every time I ate, my throat would start closing. I had to redefine what it meant to take ownership of my allergy. I'm wondering, does anything of this sound familiar to you? I know, personally, that food allergies can turn your world upside down. That where you don't know where to start, you have to educate yourself, educate everyone around you, and then all the time keep your child safe. It just feels like too much. This is why I set up allergy coaching. It's about helping you bridge the gap from diagnosis to finding your feet again. We develop actionable strategies to conquer allergy anxiety and intentionally build confidence in your food allergy kid. As a grown-up allergy kid, I know that life doesn't need to be defined by our allergies, and I want to help you know it too. Through allergy coaching, you can give your child the foundation for life you dream for them. So go to eatallergysafe.com/coaching for more information and to get a free coaching session. That's eatallergysafe.com/coaching.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Moda. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.